It's a new beginning.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Good morning. I was quoting Michigan Senator Carl Levin there. He's watching another home state giant fall today as General Motors is expected to become America's largest industrial bankruptcy ever. Reporter Tamara Keith joins me live. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning.
How is this going to work?
Well, the idea is that GM heads into bankruptcy, this company with a lot of debt and basically an operating model that was designed for a different time, a time when GM dominated the U.S. auto market and the U.S. auto market was healthy. And what will emerge is sort of a good GM, a leaner company, fewer factories, a different fiscal structure, and the hope of competing in this new economic reality.
With a lot of help from the taxpayer.
Yes, the Treasury is going to inject another $30 billion into GM to see it through the bankruptcy. So I guess you could call it government Motors. When it's all over, the U.S. government will hold a 60% stake. And the Treasury will be involved in selecting a new board of directors, though the administration insists it will stay out of day-to-day operations.
Yesterday, a bankruptcy judge in New York approved the sale of Chrysler to Fiat. So Chrysler looks set to emerge from bankruptcy just about a month after it filed. Are we expecting something similarly fast for GM?
Well, the situation with GM is a bit more complicated because it's a publicly traded company and it has a lot of international operations, too. But the Obama administration is saying it hopes the new GM will emerge in 60 to 90 days.
Tamara Keith in Washington, thank you.
Thank you.
Part of GM's survival plan is the sale of its European division. The buyers are a Canadian auto parts group and a Russian bank with big money from the German government. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard is here. Stephen, this deal has opened up squabbling within Germany and across Europe. What is the controversy?
Well, in Germany, the economics minister himself threatened to resign over this because he's concerned about the issue of providing vast amounts of state aid to a struggling industry. But elsewhere in Europe, in Italy, there's been a lot of concern. The feeling there is that the government of Silvio Berlusconi didn't do enough to help Fiat in its bid for GM Europe. There's been controversy elsewhere in Belgium, in the UK, in Spain, where there's a widespread fear that this deal has been stitched up between the Germans and Magna. And as a consequence, the major job losses may be felt not in Germany, but elsewhere in Europe.
One of the controversies is the big involvement of this Russian bank. What's the problem?
The fact that it's Russian and majority owned by the Kremlin. The idea is here that for Vladimir Putin, this is the realization of a long-held dream, the Russians being able to build up their own industries on the back of Western technology and Western skill.
Finally, Stephen, this bankruptcy is so significant in so many ways, from the money side to just the pure symbolism of this huge industrial bankruptcy. I wonder, what is the reaction in Europe?
Well, of course, there hasn't been a great deal of surprise. This has been in the cards for a while yet. I think nobody on this side of the Atlantic thinks this is the end of GM. Clearly, it will almost certainly emerge, perhaps leaner and fitter as a result of all this, but it will be smaller. And there's no doubt that the phrase "the end of an era" is being bandied about quite a bit here. I mean, no one seriously believes that GM, once the world's biggest, most profitable company, will ever again be anything other than a shadow of its former self.
Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, thank you.
Okay, Bill.
Now, let's check some stocks. Very positive day around the world. Asian markets closed higher 1 to 4%. European shares are up 1 to 3% now. Crude oil prices just keep on zooming above $68 a barrel.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com.
The city of Fremont, California, is a bedroom community north of Silicon Valley. It's got 250,000 people, but only one big movie theater, and that theater only plays Bollywood films. Reporter Karen Weiss reports on the ups and downs of targeting an immigrant market.
Shiraz Jovani remembers the first time he saw a Bollywood movie on an American big screen. It was 1991, and large numbers of Indian engineers were moving to Silicon Valley. Many came under H-1B visas for high-skilled workers.
There were so many H-1s were coming in. They're a little homesick. They need a place which is a home away from home. And I said, the demographic makes sense.
So Giovanni bought the theater and started targeting those tech workers. Soon, his Bollywood films had lines around the block. Business was so good, he eventually moved so he could expand to 8 screens. His theater serves chai tea and samosas, along with popcorn, and he's got a lock on the Bollywood market.
You don't really get to see Bollywood movies on our side of town, but you can always count on getting them here.
Sapna and her husband drove across the San Francisco Bay to catch a movie. She's originally from New Delhi, but she now lives near Palo Alto working for a large software company. The pair are munching on an Indian treat as they waited for a friend.
It's pan, it's a mouth freshener with like a betel leaf and like cardamom and rose syrup and stuff inside.
Customers like Sapna kept business rolling for more than a decade until the downturn began.
2008 was pretty bad year. 2009 hasn't started out on a very good leg.
Giovanni says business is down nearly 50%. The recession's making the theater face one specific challenge.
A lot of Indians, a lot of H-1s have gone back.
Giovanni's trying to stay hopeful, and he's trying to diversify. Fremont's last mainstream theater closed in March, so now Giovanni's talking with distributors about showing Hollywood films like Harry Potter this summer. After all, he regrets not playing one mainstream blockbuster last fall. Slumdog Millionaire. In Fremont, California, I'm Karen Wise for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, where they make a few moving pictures, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.